Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
One for five. Get the hell out of here, bro.
If you heard that to start, folks, you know what it is. It's kind of like the fun little divisional gambling corner podcast. I got Danny back with me. Guys, we're almost at 150. You can't see him, but you can hear him. Dan goes ham.
The camera debut will be coming shortly.
Well, you love to see it. You love to see that. All videos now on YouTube. No longer
little
main
tease,
mark.
Little tease, but I'm a real person. Don't worry.
You love to see it for the full exclusively on YouTube. But we're here. We're going to talk divisional football. We're going to talk some other games we're going to play. And also, we're going to talk about our teams because, look, both seasons are now done. But the first thing we're going to wrap up with quickly here is the Los Angeles Rams, Arizona Cardinals game. Look, I thought my team fell apart during the stretch. Jesus Christ, the Arizona Cardinals. Like, you've been saying it to me all along. Dude, without D-Hop, they're not that good of a team.
Yeah, man. No, I've been watching the Cardinals without D-Hop, and they're completely different, bro. And it showed. And not only that, the moment was way too big for Kyler. Like, you literally saw the guy shaking out there, bro. Very inaccurate throws. You know, he was just shitting bricks. The pick six was just pathetic. You know, I knew to stay off the Cardinals, but I was more impressed with what the Rams looked like with Cam Akers, bro. Holy shit.
Yeah, him and Sony, dude, that is a dangerous combination they're going to have at running back.
Yeah, like Sony was holding them down, but Cam Akers?
It just takes him to that next level.
The way he ran with violence and, you know, popping 6, 7, 8 a carry, you know, off this Achilles tear, which happened when? June or July?
July.
Which, this is unheard of, bro. Like, I think I'm going to have this. I have the Rams in the Super Bowl right now. You know, I have the Rams in the Super Bowl right now, but we'll get there.
You know, we'll get there. But honestly, at this point, dude, it is hard to argue. I know a lot of us were not making fun of them, but like we were all kind of like poking fun and like saying like, oh, all in, and like, look, they're going to lose, and everyone's going to kind of laugh at them. To like, and you may hate me for this, kind of like how the Yankees every year, how they do like something at the deadline where they'll go all in and then lose in the ALCS. But with the Rams, dude, like, look, Von Miller looked good. Aaron Donald's looking good. Cam Akers, like you said, running with violence. OBJ is looking really, really good. They're clicking at the right time. And that's the thing with playoffs. You only need to win a certain amount of games to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got to get hot at the perfect time. Yeah,
exactly.
And they should have saved that OBJ play for this game coming up because, you know, that game was over, bro. They shouldn't have used it then because it probably could have caught the Buccaneers off guard. But, you know, don't count on Sean McVay. I'm sure he has other plays like that.
All I have to say about this game is OBJ first. We'll ignore my Arizona +3.5 pick, but OBJ first touchdown. Thank you very much.
And the more impressive thing is, like, Cooper Kupp didn't even really do much, bro. Like, they really destroyed them without Kupp even having to do anything. Dude, so that's even more impressive.
The amount of people who had Kupp over 110 yards, like, I know you had it, but, dude, there were so many people different, like, not the sharps, but like all us like Twitter folk and like TikTok folk who post bets, everyone had Cooper Kupp over 110 yards.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I also had Van Jefferson too, bro, which kind of hurt, but it's all right.
A lot of people had him. I saw some people had him for first touchdown though too. It was so weird. You know that license plate guy that's a huge Giants fan?
Yeah.
I saw him literally say, like, OBJ's going to get, like, a couple touchdowns in this game. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's play some money on OBJ for the first touchdown. And then I saw him.
That, man.
As soon as I saw him line up in, like, the top of the key – not the top of the key, the top of the slot, I was just like, go to him. He's wide open. And then he just makes that catch. And I was like, yo, let's fucking go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
yeah, man. OBJ is very impressive right now. It just really makes you question what's really going on with Cleveland.
Exactly.
They couldn't take advantage of a guy like that.
And folks, for those of you watching on YouTube, and I'll explain it to all the podcast folk right now, we're going to play a game right now before we get into the divisional round. It's called Wildcard Teams with Bright Futures. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to take the six teams that were eliminated from last weekend, so that being Vegas, New England, Philly, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Arizona, and kind of see which one has, in our opinions, well, let's do worst first. And I think, Danny, I think for you and I, we're going to say the same one, but I'm a nice guy. I'm Canadian. You're my guest. I'm the host. So I'm going to ask you, which team out of the six that were eliminated do you think has the worst future?
Definitely the Steelers, bro. The Steelers.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, man. I mean, and especially if they want to go and run it back with I can't imagine how they do that, but with Haskins and Rudolph, like no, I don't think Tomlin's going to stand for that. I think he's going to put his foot down and say, you know, I'm sure we're not going to be able to trade for anybody, but we need a quarterback in the first round.
Exactly. They can go get Kenny Pickett in the draft.
They have things to work on, to work with for sure. They definitely have some pieces there. But as far as that offense, you know.
It's a little wonky, honestly. But, the Harris pick, like, it wasn't, like, a horrible first-round running back pick. I guess it doesn't look like how Giants fans are having buyer's remorse with Saquon Barkley or how even, what was the other team was going to say, or even Ezekiel Elliott or, to a degree, McCaffrey.
Travis Etienne.
Exactly. Well, that's injury, so that's a little different. But you know what I mean? Like, where it's like a top 10 pick on a running back. But with Pittsburgh, if they can get the right quarterback in there, they're a good team. But they also have to fix their offensive line. The defense, like, they were hot and cold all year. Like, they'll have good games, but then they'll have games where they get blown out, and then they have games where they almost lose to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, the only guy that's going to bring a few consistently on defense is obviously T.J. Watt. Everyone else, you know, they'll have – and maybe Minka. I don't know how good of a year. I don't think it was his best year. But other than that, everyone's hit or miss on that defense. So, you know, you got to rebuild that defense as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they're probably going to lose Juju. You know, Claypool had a down year. Deontay is still good. I like Deontay a lot.
Fryermuth's good.
Fryermuth, yes, big on Fryermuth. But you know, they got to do the O line, the D line, linebacking core, corners. So they have a lot to fix, man.
Exactly, and we'll see what Kevin Colbert can do. But I think, and here's the thing too, with especially with the AFC North next year, it's like we don't know exactly what Cleveland's going to be. Obviously, Baker Mayfield had his surgery today for his torn labrum. He's supposed to be back, like I think probably by training camp. So it's like a 4 to 6 month recovery period. They said apparently you can start throwing lightly, I think, at the 4 month mark. So probably around end of May, Memorial Day-ish. But for Cleveland, we don't know what they're going to be. Baltimore, I honestly wouldn't be shocked if they're back in the playoff hunt next year.
Oh, they'll be there.
They'll be there for sure. And then Cincinnati, too, now as a team, you can't take easy anymore.
Yeah, man. Cincy, bro. I like Cincy a lot, you know, but I think they're a year away.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit, but for that, it is what it is. After this one, though, if I had to put – I'm just going to do my 5-4-3-2 as I think. So basically, after that, I'm going to say Philly just because you can't fully trust the quarterbacking situation, and the defense is old and got exposed by the Buccaneers for, hey, look, your wins came against really bad teams, and when you played a truly good team, you got your ass kicked.
Yeah, I think I would go Raiders next, but I could definitely see Philly.
Raiders was my next one only because of the coaching changes, and I still think there's a chance Derek Carr's not there in 2022.
Yeah, no. I mean, Miguel had just texted me before the show. He was like, yo, go run to the books. Harbaugh is plus 125 to be the Raiders' next head coach. So, I mean, if that happens, you know, that changes things. But if not, you know, I don't see that being an attractive job at all, you know. So, and I think they barely made it. You know, they got lucky to get in. So I think they hit their ceiling, which is a first round exit with that team. So we'll see. I mean, they would be my fifth, and then I would say Philly. Philly, you know, they have pieces, bro, but you know, as long as Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, you're going to be super limited to your success. And I think they realize that. So I mean, do they get Frisco for Deshaun Watson? I don't know. Apparently, he's going to team up with Flores if he's even allowed to play. You know, we still have that pending, the legal battle pending. So, yeah, Raiders Philly there.
Yeah, so like you have Raiders Philly. I have Philly Raiders. Three, I'm going to say Arizona, just because we saw, like you said, Kyler Murray looked scared. He looked timid. Cliff Kingsbury's future very much, I think, still is in the balance because of how much they've fallen off the last 2 years. I know this year they made the playoffs, but I feel like for 2022 for the Cardinals, it's not just make the playoffs. It's you got to win a game in the playoffs.
I'll go Patriots with me because I think they're going to have to run back this same team again. I don't really see how much they can drastically improve. You know, they went and spent all their money this past offseason, and they're, you know, their draft pick isn't going to be the greatest. I think for the Cardinals' sake, you know, like I said, man, they're a completely different team without DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to need to address that and get a real wide receiver too. I don't think Christian Kirk is cutting it for them. So I think they'll be back, bro. You know, Hopkins will be back. They'll probably draft the receiver first round. And you know, I don't know as far as the Super Bowl team, but you know, I definitely think they have a better future than the Patriots as of right now.
Consistent contender. Obviously, you know where I have the Patriots ranked, so I'll just jump over there, and then you know I know I have two. With the Patriots, I talked about it a bit on Monday. I don't know if you saw my Saturday night, like, very, very post-game raw emotion reaction.
But, I did.
Basically, with New England, what we have to do is, like, you know how you were saying before with Pittsburgh, where it's like, look, we need a new linebacking core. That got obvious, where we have to get younger at that position. Cornerback's a very serious area of need. And then for wide receiver, I'm at a weird crossroads. Would it be nice to have like a bona fide one? Yes. But if they got another slot guy, I would not be mad either. Like if they want to go out there and get like, I don't know, let's just say Isaiah McKenzie, who is a free agent this year, because they've done it before. If someone's come in and burned Bill before, and Bill will go out and get him. He did it with Gilmore. He did it with Chris Hogan. Both were Bills, then became Patriots. I'm not out here saying that the Patriots are going to be a Super Bowl contender next year. I still think before we're a serious playoff contender, earliest 2023. But I think we're still in that mix to where we can be in the playoff hunt and even make a wild card again next year. Because, look, I'll be the first to admit it. When it comes to the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills are the big brother. We clearly saw that. That was 20 years of pent-up frustration and anger let out. But we'll talk about them more later. That's just my feelings on the Patriots because offensive line I'm good with. Mac I'm good with. Receivers and tight ends, look, they just had to make more plays. And the running back room, like, I mean, we got some good guys. It's just I think this year there's just going to be some difficult cap decisions to be made. But at the same time, too, we don't have the crazy money like we did last offseason. We still got $27 million to spend right now, which isn't awful.
Well, if you bring back J.C. Jackson, most of that's gone. And then you have your draft class.
Exactly. We're going to have to hit on our picks. That's the big thing. The Patriots have to have a really good draft again. Does
Bill tell J.C. to go test the market? Does he pay him?
I think he gets franchised.
Because the franchise tag is hefty, man. What is that, the $19 million tag?
I think it's 17.
17? So that's literally all your cap space right there is the franchise tag and your draft class pretty much. And then maybe like a mid free agent signing. Braxton Berrios, bring him back, admit the mistake.
Nah. Like I said, if we were going to go out there, like, look, I'm not going to go out there screaming that. Like, I hate the people that are saying, like, you know, Calvin Ridley or Amari Cooper, because, look, I do not want that Amari Cooper cap hit, but I still feel like this goes into my discussion with the Cowboys. He's going to be cut as a cap casualty because he's making $20 million right now, and CD's still in a rookie deal.
Mm.
Plus, you have Cedric Wilson, and then we'll see how Michael Gallup recovers from his ACL injury. But let's get into the Dallas Cowboys, which I don't know what happened. It's their year, but they never get it done, and we all like to laugh at them. I also don't know if you saw this, but I saw it today online. Did you see the photo of that guy hugging his girl, and they were like both sad?
No, I saw all the pictures. Yeah, well, they had quite a few fan pictures of them in the stands.
Do you want to know the funniest story about that?
What?
That was the guy's side chick, and the girlfriend caught him on TV. Apparently, he's like a notorious cheater. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, so gotta be careful out there, fellas.
Yeah, exactly.
Hustle is moving silence.
Exactly. Like I said, y'all can do that. Y'all obviously know I don't got to do that. I don't play that game no more.
No more. Uh-oh.
I'm just kidding. Jess, if you listen to this, I love
you. I'm fucking with you.
Oh, I know. But no, so basically I think it was on Twitter or Instagram. It was one of the two where you literally just see the girl basically everyone's messenger being like, "Yo, isn't that your guy? Like, what's he at the cowboy game with some girl for and stuff?" And it was just I saw that. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't. Like, that and the girl in the white sweater, like 4 minutes ago, that was just crying her eyes out, were like the funniest moments of the game, on top of the people that were like running like crazy to get to those standing room seats.
You know, I understand, man, because, you know, the way the Cowboys were built, it had to be done now, bro. Like, this is where they finally have everyone together, you know, under the cap, and now, you know, they're gonna have problems with the cap. Are we gonna let Cooper go? Are we gonna let Zeke go? Which they should let Zeke go. Pollard is such a better back for.
Do you know how much Pollard makes?
600 rookie minimum.
Yeah, he's still under a mil.
Yeah. So, and they didn't take advantage of that contract. And when someone goes and signs him next year, after next year, they're gonna be like, "Wow, we had this in our system the whole time, and we." You know, stuck behind Zeke, and we paid Zeke. So that's going to look really bad in about a year. But anyways, like I'm saying, yeah, they had it all together this year, and they're only going to get worse. You know, they're under the cap. You know, they're probably going to lose Cooper, like I said, Zeke, which probably is, you know, an addition by subtraction. But this was their year, bro. It's just, it's that I don't care about what happened with the refs. You were a very undisciplined team with all those penalties. You know, it looked bad. And then just that Dak interception, I could not get over. Like, what are you doing, man? I was all over the 49ers, so I was happy. You know, I was enjoying that game. You know, you saw that coming from a mile away, that the Cowboys would choke like that. But, you know, they had to get it done this year, bro.
Yeah, but
this
even
was the year to do it.
Yeah, but even still, when you have the whole moment where you'd like, oh, hey, I'm just handing it off and stuff. No, you know the rules of the game where the umpire has to touch the ball first instead of giving it to the center. And even still, to call a quarterback draw with 14 seconds left on the clock.
I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it.
You run slants and get out of bounds with no timeouts left. If you have a timeout left, you call that quarterback
draw. What bothers me so much is the Cowboys fans honestly thinking like it was a guarantee for them to throw a 25-yard touchdown against prevent defense, you know? Like I still don't think they get in, even if they do have that 1 second, it's you know, the odds are against you more than they're in your favor. But you know, they're acting like, oh, they definitely 100% totally would have fucking scored that touchdown, which is not the case at all.
And by the way, the only other reason why I put the Pats ahead of both the Cowboys and the Cardinals is just because there's so many question marks at head coach. Obviously I know Bill Belichick's older, but when you ask me who do I trust more, putting my fandom aside, do I trust Cliff Kingsbury, Mike McCarthy, or Bill Belichick? If you're a true football fan, you should be saying Bill Belichick 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, honestly, I'm sorry. I meant to put the Cardinals number one.
Okay, yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I meant to put the Cardinals number one. But, yeah, man, I don't know, man. I just don't know what the Patriots ceiling is. I don't know how much upside Mac really has, you know? So we'll see. We'll see what they do for him. They really got to hit on their draft picks, like I said. And you know, he's gotta play outside of the system a little bit, go off script for me to start believing in him a little bit more. But as of right now, he's another Alex Smith.
Yeah. The only other point I'll make about them before we talk about it later is my ceiling for them this past season was what they did at 10-7. So that's my ceiling again for next year, 10-7. Like if they
that's fair.
Yeah, like if they hit that mark, that's my ceiling for them again this year. Like, because even still, and there was all these people too saying like, oh, like there's all the talk right now is Belichick getting fired and stuff. If I want to be like, if you want to, or Belichick's not a good coach without Brady. If you want to know what good of a coaching he was, it was last year when we went 7-9 when we should not have gone 7-9. I was listening to the radio today because, oh yeah, that was the thing too, because there's a radio show up here in the morning. One of the hosts, he's an ex-Maple Leaf, but he's a huge Bills fan.
Okay.
He was saying like, oh, if Belichick's such a great coach, it's like, why didn't he have an answer for Josh Allen? Why can't he stop Josh Allen if he's this great coach? And I was just like, put your homerism aside. Like, if you want to know how good of a coach he was, like, look at last year. Like, that Monday Nighter against the Jets, y'all should have won. Our game against the Cardinals last year, they should have won. We had a game against the Ravens on Sunday Night Football where I thought we were going to get our asses kicked. We we won somehow. And then Kansas City too. That managed to be a close game for a bit. So
that game was identical to the win game in Buffalo, that Ravens game in the rain.
Yeah.
It's just when the other team doesn't really have a chance to throw the ball, I favor you guys all day long. Every 100%. Time. Every 100%. Time. So if next year there's a huge blizzard game you guys play against your fucking top team, I'm picking you guys.
You know what? I don't blame you because I'll do the same thing going forward. Oh, also, just some breaking news. The NFL has filed to dismiss the John Gruden lawsuit that's come out after his firing, which you and I were on air for, if you remember, a few months ago.
Yeah.
So wow. That's just something from the Athletic.
Oh, so he's suing them.
He's suing the league, basically saying wrongful termination.
Okay.
When in reality, look, he said some things that in 2021 you can't say in emails, mm-hmm. even though they were sent 10 years ago, so it just looks bad. But anyway, we're moving on to the playoffs. Tennessee versus Cincinnati. Tennessee Titans are a 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is 47.5 points. Can the Bengals get it done again, or do you think that the Titans back fully healthy is going to be something to reckon with?
Yeah, man. Listen, I like the Bengals a lot. And I think they're a very competitive team, a very talented team. I think this game is going to be competitive. But I just think they're a year away, bro. And the way the Raiders came back on them so fast and almost – what was it? They almost went to overtime or almost won?
They almost – if Carr doesn't throw that pick, they – let's see. It was 1926.
They went to overtime.
That would have gone to OT. That would have gone to OT.
Yeah. Okay. So it would have went to OT. But, they had that game the whole time. And I've seen this happen with the Bengals multiple times this year where they just, fucking give up the lead, and they lost to us, like, because Joe Burrow threw a pick on the worst, decision in the world. But I just don't fully trust them yet. I think Derrick Henry is going to do wonders this week for the Titans. I don't think they're going to have an answer for him. And I think A.J. Brown needs to step up big time as well, because he's had really a very disappointing year. Same with Julio. So I think the Titans find a way. I think they get past them. But that's all they're going to do.
I like the Titans. The 3.5, if this was 4, I would say yes, but 3.5 kind of has me leaning Cincy just because I can see it still being a field goal game. I am going to go Tennessee here. Look, I'd love to see the Bengals story continue, but I agree with you on the year away. I think this honestly could be a really good game for A.J. Brown. I think this could be a game where he really shines. But the one thing I'm intrigued by, do we see that over hit? Because I thought last week, I know you were the under for the Raiders Bengals. I had the over. I got to wonder if that's going
to hit. I think the over hits for sure this game.
Yeah, you know what? The more I think about it, yeah, you're right. Look, Tennessee, a lot of the times Tennessee manages to put up points, but then their defense too can give up some points. But if you're asking me which offense do I trust more, for as good as Burrow has been, for as good as Ja'Marr Chase has been.
There we go, Fred.
I got to go Tennessee here. Oh, nice three-pointer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking good. And then the Cavaliers are only down. They were down by 9. Now they're down by 3. And the Hornets. Are you watching the Hornets right now? Or
I have both on. But yeah, I have the Hornets on TV, and then I'm looking on my phone for the Raptors.
True. So yeah, I think we're both leaning Tennessee. Next up, Green Bay versus San Francisco. Excuse me. Packers are now a 6-point favorite. 47 points is the over under. I want to – basically, here's how this goes for me. I'm going to say this first. Logic says Green Bay wins, but something in my head is telling me there's a chance San Francisco wins. But the biggest thing for me with that one is how healthy – not as Jimmy. How healthy is Nick Bosa and Fred Warner?
Yeah, very. Those are two big, big pieces. I think Green Bay wins this game, but I really wasn't sure – whether to take the points or to take the money line on the Packers because of their history against the 49ers and stuff. But I had to talk to Big Raph for this one a little bit, and he convinced me. He's like, this year the Packers are untouchable in Lambeau Field, and the conditions are going to be in their favor. Jimmy G's busted up right now. Now he has the shoulder injury, and you still have the question marks between Bosa and Werner. So, and they also don't have Raheem Mostert coming back, who absolutely torched the Packers the last playoff game. Oh, yeah. So that's huge. I don't really think Elijah Mitchell is that good. He's good, but he's not that good.
Yeah.
Debo's gonna, if they're gonna win this game, Debo's gonna have to have like a absolutely like 100-yard rushing, 100-yard receiving day. You know, Ayuk's going to have to make more plays like he did against the Cowboys. But the Packers' defense is better than what the Cowboys is, honestly. You know, you got Jaire Alexander coming back, which is huge. So if you put him on, I would imagine Ayuk, because Debo moves all over the field. And then does Kittle do anything? Because Kittle goes quiet a lot. He's went quiet a lot this year. So if they can get Kittle involved, they'll have a chance. But I think the Packers should win comfortably for sure. I think if the Niners do cover, it's going to be a backdoor cover.
Oh yeah, you know what? I can see the same thing. For the points though, like in the over under game, this is another one I'm a little tricky on. I can see the over hitting, but like hitting late. You know what? You're right. I was gonna go San Fran, but at the end of the day, it's one of those things. You have to trust 12. You got to trust he's going to get the job done. And the fact, too, that San Francisco's banged up. And like you said, no Raheem Morris – or Mostert, excuse me. That's the next game. No Raheem Mostert, Nick Bosa and Warner questionable. We don't know if Jimmy's going to play. Brandon Ayuk very well could be a non-factor in this game. I got to go the safe run and take the Packers, and I'm going to take the points.
Can you look up what the weather is going to be like on Saturday?
Yeah, for sure.
In Lambeau,
sure.
Yeah. Let's see what that's going, because that's gonna be huge. I feel like that's gonna be huge.
I've heard cold, but I haven't heard how cold. So.
Like yeah, like below freezing cold.
Saturday at kickoff, it's gonna be 13 and cloudy. 13.
That's huge. That's huge.
Which so. For me in Celsius, that's -11.
Wow.
Yeah. So. If this was in the California sun, I think it'd be a different story because Green Bay has struggled in California.
Uh-huh.
But this ain't in Santa Clara. This is in Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Niners are a nice story for sure, you know. But I just don't think it's their time, unfortunately.
I think this is where you separate the good from the really good this weekend.
But if Trey Lance makes that next step, maybe 2 years from now, we'll see.
I will say this too. I think if the Niners do lose this game, it's going to make trading Jimmy Garoppolo a hell of a lot easier. If he were to take them on a deep playoff run, I think it's
harder. He's gone regardless.
Oh, he's gone regardless. It's just how much value can you get for him, and the fact that he won a playoff game, well, they can get a first round pick for him probably.
If they get a second, I think they gladly smile and take that for sure. Definitely.
Lynch, I think, will try to fleece someone, but
get the first. But you know, I mean, there are dumb teams out there like Washington that would probably give up the one if they don't really like any of the quarterbacks this year. Yeah. But how ready is Washington ready to win, you know?
That's why going back to our game from before, that's why I had Dallas over Arizona, is just because I do trust Dallas to win the division again next year, because I don't think Philly will. The Giants obviously still are a few years away from doing anything at this point. And whatever the hell they're called after February 2nd, I still think, regardless of who's under center, that's still a 6-11 to, like, maybe at best, maybe an 8-9 team.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's just me, though. But now on to Sunday, Tampa Bay versus Los Angeles. Look, we talked about this earlier, but the Buccaneers open as a 3-point favorite. Over-under is 48.5. Man, I want to go Rams here, but I remember this. Except for the Saints game, it's the same thing with Brady at Raymond James Stadium. He's on another level, but if Tristan Wirfs is not playing, that changes the narrative completely for me.
Listen, I'm telling everyone right now, and you can come back and shame me if this doesn't happen, to run and get the Rams money line at plus money right now. Because I promise you, that shit is going to close at Rams plus 105 or plus 110, closer to even. So they're paying out plus money right now. Go take that. What I saw on Sunday, I was not looking at the Rams like that whatsoever. You know, I thought they were a good team. I thought, you know, like, yeah, they'll make some noise. What Cam Akers changed about that team is got me thinking they're gonna definitely be in the Super Bowl, if not win it. You know, that guy looks, and that's what the Rams have been missing all year. When the pressure is 100% on Stafford, he folds. He does fold. But with the way Cam, he's fresh. You got to remember that he's fresh. He didn't play all year. You know, he had a little tune up game at the end of the year, whatever, just to get, you know, some hits. But that guy looks ready to play. He looks poised. He looks like he's going to take it. He took Buda Baker's head off pretty damn much. So, you know, if they get that run game going, which they probably will, I think it might be a long day for the Buccaneers. They're just missing too much, man. I think, you know, the only legit receiver they have is Mike Evans. He's going to be on the best corner in the NFL in Jalen Ramsey. That means Gronk really has to step up. How much can he step up? And then after that, you know, how healthy is Fournette? How healthy is Wirfs? Is Wirfs going to play? How healthy is Jensen? I know he played, but, you know, I'm sure he's
Arnold Jones too.
I'm sure he's feeling, you know, the injury all week. So that team is beat up. I know everyone, all my friends are telling me, you can't fade Brady, bro. You can't fade Brady. Brady's never won two Super Bowls back to back. You know, he's not Superman. He's damn near close to Superman, but it's just the stars are not aligning for the Buccaneers this year. You know, you saw the team fall apart at the end of the year with the Antonio Brown shit. Then they lost Godwin to the ACL. They lost Fournette. We'll see. Like I said, even if he does play, is he 100% healthy? Is he going to run like the same Leonard Fournette? So I think this is screaming trap line for people taking Buccaneers just to be like, oh, you can't fade Brady. But I'm all over the Rams here. I love this pick.
Basically, I'm the same way as you. Like, for me in my video, this is a sneak peek for what you'll probably see on Sunday. I know you don't watch too much wrestling anymore, but you obviously remember WrestleMania 24.
I'm in the loop, yeah, of course.
You remember WrestleMania 24 when Sean looks at Rick, he's just like, I'm sorry, I love you. That's going to be me for Brady. I'm going to be giving him a sweet chin music.
Listen, Brady will be back next year. Don't get it twisted, man. He'll be back. He just, the injuries just tore that team apart, man. And Bruce Arians, man, I'm starting not to like him either, bro. I think he's just like way over his head right now. Nice, so I would like to see him. I would like to see him lose, honestly. But you know, Brady, we'll know when Brady's really done. So I don't think it's time for the WrestleMania 24 thing just yet. But you know, probably in another year or two.
I meant in the sense of picking against Tommy. That's all.
Oh, against Tommy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. No, I mean that's what the books. I'm telling you right now, that's what the books are going to make their money on this week, is people not fading Tom Brady and not seeing what happened on Monday night and how different the Rams look and how great they looked. I really have confidence in the Rams here, bro.
Also, if I'm McVay, I'm not like worried about the run game getting going. Get your receivers going, because honestly, the Bucs secondary can get cooked very easily. We've seen it happen this year a lot.
That too, yeah. But I'm saying if you get that run game going, you got the play action.
That's all.
And Cup didn't show nothing this last game. They won handily without Cup, so they could do it without Cup. With Cup, who the hell knows?
Exactly. I'm going Rams on the money line here too. If it plus 3-2, it's just like it's. Plus 3 is, I feel like, is like a safe bet you can make, you know, where it's a good amount, because even if they do lose, it's only by a field goal. But yeah,
definitely a safe bet. But you're gonna kick yourself and be like, damn, I knew I should have picked the Rams to win and got that plus money. But yeah, if you want to be safe, plus 3 is fine.
Yeah, that's just for the safe gamblers out there. Like for myself right now, if I were to consider it everywhere right now, where it's like either if you're beginner, intermediate, or like advanced, I consider like myself like that intermediate category right now. I consider Danny advanced. But
no, I'm getting killed, man, since New York launched. I'm getting crushed.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't stay cold forever. And exactly. I feel like I've been on a lot of the right side, but the wrong result, you know?
Dude, I was kicking myself last Sunday because for my touchdown props, I had a feeling about Boston Scott, but I backed out of it. If I didn't I would have gone 6 for 6.
I showed you, man, because we're in the Yahoo Pick'em League, and I had all 6 picks correctly, and for whatever reason, I didn't make a parlay for that, man. So I'm not making that mistake this week.
Exactly. Well, anyway, one last game of this weekend. I think a game everyone – there's a lot of people are saying, oh, we wish this was next weekend. Look, I like that it's this weekend, because if whoever loses, I'm not going to be mad about. Kansas City versus Buffalo. Kansas City opens as a 2-point favorite, 54.5.
A lot of money coming in on Buffalo. I think the line got down to 1 today. I don't know if it went back up.
I was on the score app, and it just showed me 2.5. So it could adjust accordingly, but for right now, like what it was showing me was 2.5. I said this, and a lot of people thought I was like Monday. Lorenzo's thought like, oh, what am I talking about? I'm going Kansas City. Does it have to do with saltiness? Yes, but here's my other thing: playing we are the champions after you win a wild card game, and then. I'm going to compare them. I said this to you, and I'll say this again till it's a beaten down dead horse. What the Buffalo Bills represented to me last weekend was what we saw with Michigan 2 months ago, when they just absolutely outplayed Ohio State and got that dragon slayed. And then they get to the national championship semifinal, and then Georgia just kills them. I'm not saying Kansas City is going to kill them. I'm just saying if Buffalo just lose this game, I wouldn't be shocked if it's because they basically laid it out all on the line to beat the Patriots.
This game is by far the toughest game to pick this weekend, man. Because you can legitimately make a case for both sides. As far as betting wise, what I did was I blew up Buffalo up to 7.5 because I think regardless, this is going to come down to the final possession, which is fair. So I blew Buffalo up to 7.5. I didn't want to take the Chiefs money line because I can see potential of Buffalo actually winning this game. Listen, man, sometimes you do feel like it's destined for it to be Buffalo's year to get to the Super Bowl. But then you just like think back and you're like, they're the Chiefs, you know, I don't even take what they did against the Steelers seriously because it was the Steelers. It was just a fucking open field practice pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way McKinnon looked, I think he's looked like the best back that, either Clyde or, Darrell Williams has shown this year for sure. So especially in the passing game. So he brings another threat, to that offense. You know, Kelsey looked real good. Tyreek looked good. You know, Pringle's he's a little sleeper too, man. He makes plays too. So Buffalo's gonna have to be perfect, bro. Singletary has looked good. I will say that he's looked good to close the season. He looked good against y'all. So if this is the best ball he's played in his career, so if he can continue that up, I think that only helps Buffalo. Dawson Knox, another guy, had a huge game, but he doesn't do it consistently, bro. He'll have games like that and he'll take the next game off and he won't do much. So, you know, I love Gabriel Davis. Gabriel always finds a way to fucking score every week. So I think, if Kansas City doesn't properly, scout him and scheme for him, he's going to burn them. Emmanuel Sanders came back. That's another thing that could happen. You know, if they're not paying attention to Emmanuel Sanders, they might get one deep on them. So I think this is going to have a lot of points for sure.
4.5 is the over.
As far as the side, it's tough, man. I do lean Buffalo, but I don't think I can't make the pick, bro. So I'm going to say KC right now, but I would not be shocked if Buffalo wins this game. And I think the safe bet is to take Buffalo's points.
I would do an adjusted spread for the Bills, but I'm here to make a claim. And I'm going to say this because I'm so confident. I'm confident that the Chiefs are going to get the win. Not a close win, but the Chiefs aren't going to – if the Chiefs were to lose, I don't think it'll be by a lot. That if the Chiefs lose by 10 or more points, I will go down to Highmark Stadium next time I am in Buffalo. And for a betting video, I will film myself singing that god-awful shout song in front of the stadium.
I want to see that now.
Hold me to that. If the Bills win by 10 or more, if this game is a Bills blowout like we saw last weekend, hold me to that. I will go to that stadium and sing that song. I won't jump off my car into a table because I don't want to kill myself. But
I gotta know the mindsets of both teams coming into this game because, you know, I really hope KC isn't like, oh, here we go again. You know, we're just gonna breeze by and get to the Super Bowl. You know, we just blew out the Steelers. We're the best thing in the world right now. No, you're not. If you come in and you're not on your fucking P's and Q's against Buffalo, they will beat you. They will beat you. And Buffalo, hopefully they're not, like you said, hopefully, I don't think they are looking at beating the Patriots as their Super Bowl.
I think the fans, you know,
because,
do more than the
because
team.
They came into this year with expectations. They came into this year with, you know, we're a Super Bowl team. We're going to get it done this year. So I think they're going to be highly focused. I think they're going to be ready. I don't see them coming out flat. So, I mean, you might see Buffalo go up two scores early, and you might have to see the Chiefs claw back in. So that's where Buffalo is going to get tested there, is when KC finally starts to fire on all cylinders, are they going to be able to match and, you know, keep up the energy and keep the score close with them?
You know,
so this is the fact that this is closing off the weekend is perfect because this is by far the best game and the hardest one to pick.
You know what? I also love the start times too. Like, I love how it's not like a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock game. I love how it's like, I love the timings for this one in the championship Sunday where it's 3:05 and then 6:40, how it's those kickoffs where it's like, you know what? So you have the morning, you can do whatever you want. You can chill and relax, get your breakfast in, and then you can go and then turn on to the football games. And then at night, game's done by 10 o'clock. So you still have time to, you know, kind of wind down before you go to bed. Like, I remember like, dude, I wasn't even a fan. But coming off that Chargers and Raiders game, like, dude, I was still on another fucking level because of how intense the game was.
Like, yeah, dude, that football, was a really fun one, bro. People. That was what a way to go out for the regular season, bro.
100%. That was,
you know, and I really try. I grabbed like Chargers live at like plus three something, bro. And I was really rooting for them, bro. But fucking couldn't get it done, bro. I would have took the tie and been happy with that to have a push. That would have been the best push of my life.
You know what this game wouldn't shock me if it was like? Do you remember the AFC Championship game when it was Kansas City, Tennessee 2 years ago where Tennessee was up, but then Patrick Mahomes had that crazy run before half?
Yeah.
I wouldn't shock me to see that if the Bills kind of like, you know, came out early, it came out firing, and then they just have a couple of miscues where Kansas City takes advantage of it and then just runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of like similar to what we saw. Now, I personally don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think even
no,
remember this game I can even see being since this game could be similar to the Kansas City Cincinnati game that we saw just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do see defenses making plays for sure, and I think Buffalo does have the better defense. You know, Patrick Mahomes threw a pick against did he throw a pick against the Steelers? He fumbled, right? No, that wasn't even him. That was Darrell Williams.
That was Williams.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, listen, man, Patrick can throw picks here easily. You know, Micah Hyde is outstanding right now, and they're doing this all without Trey White, you know?
Yeah,
their defense is still very, very good.
I thought that was going to hinder them after I saw he tore his ACL on Thanksgiving, but it hasn't. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to hold myself to this, and I might tweet it. I'll probably tweet it up before the game on Sunday so people can hold me to this. But I'm sticking to that. And also, too, if I were to go down, it's not like me just singing it like half-assed. I'm going to give it 100% effort. But if the Bills do kill them, hold me to that audience that I have to go down to Highmark Stadium and do that sometime before next season. Because when I was there in December, the Patriots have sucked since. So I feel like I have to go back there anyway
If the Bills kill the Chiefs, you're going to go to Highmark Stadium and do the shout?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
on Buffalo +7.5, and as a Jet fan, bro, and that's my last leg of my parlay. As a Jet fan, and they close it out, I'll do it myself. Damn near fucking scream that all day in the living room.
I think I'm gonna take an adjusted spread to a Bills plus. I think we're gonna do +7, just as a just in case kind of bet. But that's where I lean. But anyway, now we're on to a game. The first one was a game I wanted to play. Now this is one that Danny wanted to play, courtesy of the Michael K Show. It's called Dak or the current starter. We're going to go through all 32 NFL teams and pick who we think are.
Would you take on your, yeah, would you take them as your quarterback over Dak right now?
We're not going to do, I'm going to pick the tough ones. I'm not going to do the easy ones because, like, for example, you're not going to pick Dak. You're obviously going to pick Dak over Trevor Lawrence.
So they ended up putting Dak number 11, or it was 11 or 12 overall.
Yeah. So, like, for example, I'm not the one I have to ask you, though, is Dak or Justin Fields?
Dak, for sure.
Okay.
100% Dak.
Okay. Dak or Russell Wilson?
I'm taking Dak. They took Russell Wilson. I'm taking Dak.
Dak or Lamar Jackson?
I would take that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I'm going to probably say Dak, though.
Same. The next toughest one I can see here, because, like, look, there's a lot of them that are just slam dunks. Like, I'm obviously going to say Dak over Zach Wilson. I'm going to say Dak over Sam Darnold. I'm going to say Dak over Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, because you know how I feel about Drew Lock. Dak or Kirk Cousins, like, it's the same thing. Everyone's going to take Dak.
Yeah,
Dak or Justin Herbert?
See, they took Dak. I'm taking Herbert.
I'm going Herbert, too. Dude,
I'm taking Herbert.
Herbert's, like, my top two quarterbacks that aren't, that I just like personally, that aren't Patriots, is Herbert and Murray. Don't get it twisted. People, is Mahomes better than either one, or is Allen better? Yes, I'm just saying quarterbacks that I like personally.
Oh, that you like to root for, yeah.
Like, the root for, like, to watch. They're, like, fun to watch.
Yeah.
Hashtag fun to watch. Look, I could say Tua, but I know which way you're going to go. Ooh.
And I think Tua is going to be awful next year, but that's beside the point.
He's a high end demand guest. We're gonna have to get him on at some point to dissect the whole.
You know what? I'll come on camera for him. You heard that, Big Rat? I will. Oh shit! What'd I do? I've never been on this app.
That's all good.
I will be on this motherfucking camera when you want to smoke, Big Rat, all right? That is my promise.
How about I do this? How about I have him on, and then I just, like, bring you on in, like, just a, like as we're talking, you just, like,
come I think
in.
What you should do, just for the future, yeah, you could set that up, too. But for the draft, bro, I don't know where the hell I'm going to be. But wherever the hell I am, I will come on for the Jets pick live, and we'll have a live reaction for both picks. I'll check in on 4. I'll check in on 10 if you want to do a live stream then. You know, you could probably, as much NFL fans you have, you just get people on and, you know, for their picks or whatever. That'd be cool.
You know what? We'll do that, or I can even do free agency. I got plans. I got
free agency night. That's another one. Hey, man, you got to get to 200 somehow, bro. You got to build these episodes up.
200 before kickoff next year. That's my goal.
Fuck, bro. Do restricted free agency. Oh, franchise tag window extended or deadline.
Exactly. Okay, the next one, because I'm going to be honest, because, like, the next few, it's, like, Pittsburgh, obviously, you're going to go Dak.
Yeah.
San Fran, Dak. I don't know if this is a shocking one. If I had to pick for New England, I'd go Dak over Mac. I love Mac Jones, but
you have to, bro. I would have left the stream.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, I know I can be a homer sometimes, but you know at there's certain points where I just can't be. Dak or Burrow?
Burrow.
Same.
Burrow, absolutely Burrow.
Dak or Kyler?
Kyler.
Same. Next one, too, I'm the same thing. Dak or Josh Allen? I'm going Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Ruined my fucking Saturday. That's the one thing that pissed me off more than anything was the fact that Diggs not get a single touchdown.
Yeah, that sucks, man, because literally everyone scored but Diggs.
I had money on that shit.
I don't know if I told you this or someone else, though. I was like, you know Belichick's going to make sure Diggs doesn't kill them, though.
Oh, yeah.
But he let everyone else kill them, you know?
Well, I mean, Diggs killed us last year in that Monday Nighter game. I don't remember that one too well.
Yeah.
Dak or Stafford?
Man, that's probably the toughest one besides Lamar. As far as right now, you know what? I think Stafford has to have a perfect team around him. He sucked in Detroit. Well, it didn't suck, but didn't really do anything in Detroit as far as success. So I'm going to have to go Dak.
Same. I'm going Dak. I think
I would want Dak over Stafford as my quarterback, yes.
Dak, I think, has also accomplished more in the shorter amount of time in his career than Stafford. Like, Stafford was a great quarterback in Detroit, but that's the thing, though. He was in a bad situation in Detroit.
Man, you didn't see the stat where he's had both Calvin and Kupp break. He was the quarterback that broke the receiver records, right?
Oh, I saw that.
Which is nuts, man. This guy, like this is the farthest he's been in the playoffs by far, right? Has he even won a game in Detroit in the playoffs?
Nah. This was his first playoff win of his career. Monday was his first win of the playoffs.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
That's the funny thing, too, with this Sunday's matchup, because for Brady, it could be his 36th playoff win, and for Stafford, it'll be his second.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. That is nuts. But I'm not looking at it as Stafford. I'm looking at it as the Rams, man, and Sean McVay.
Yeah, exactly.
With a plus quarterback.
The only four that are left, I'm only going to pick one because obviously I'm picking Mahomes, I'm picking Brady, and I'm picking Rodgers. But I'm going Dak over Tannehill.
Yeah, I would go Dak over Tannehill. The one that bothered me on the radio, though, from these guys, and Dollar Greger defended it, is both Peter Rosenberg and Michael Kay both said they would take Derek Carr over Dak Prescott. I was like, you guys are absolutely out of your mind, man. There's not one GM in the NFL that should actually be a GM would take fucking Carr over Dak Prescott. Come on, bro.
No, hard no. Hard no. Oh, that was a fun exercise. I got to do that again with more quarterbacks.
Yeah, that one, it just bothered me today. I was like, I think that would be a good topic.
Now on to the New York Jets and their offseason plans.
Totally forgot about this.
I'm going to say more than anything with this year's draft, there's a couple – well, obviously, I texted you Drake London earlier today, but you weren't too big of a fan of that. I just heard that because Pro Football Focus.
I do. I just think there's a better fit receiver for this.
Pro Football Focus has him in there. For you guys at 4, I got to say this right now. If Stingley is available, you got to take him. You got to take him.
Listen, bro. Fuck Mel Kiper. No one listen to Mel Kiper because he has us going Kyle Hamilton, the safety, at 4. I know Joe Douglas is his seat's a little warmer. He's not on the hot seat, but his seat is definitely a little warmer. This is going to be his third draft. If he were to go Kyle fucking Hamilton, a luxury pick, over the guys that are going to be available, I'm losing all faith in Joe Douglas. Absolutely losing all faith in him. There's no reason why Kyle Hamilton should be the pick. If Jamal Adams was still on this team this year, this team still wins fucking four games. When you have as much holes as the New York Jets do, they are not going safety with the number four overall pick, all right? So we're going to get that shit out of there real quick. And there's Jet fans that fucking want this guy at number four. And I think they're all nuts, and I really don't think they understand the long-term picture that the team cannot afford to take a luxury right now.
No, you can't. This year's draft, I've been saying this for months now, last year's draft, even in 2020, you could draft for what you need, for what you want. This year is all about need.
Yeah, listen, when you're a great team and you don't have as many holes, absolutely. Kyle Hamilton's a fantastic player. This is not a knock on Kyle Hamilton and his abilities. But listen, the position is not a fucking priority position. That's not our need right now. You go and you sign a safety in free agency and you don't draft it number four overall. That's not what you do. That's not how you fix this team. And I don't think Joe Douglas makes the mistake anyways. But all right, so who I want, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Listen, Stingley, I do like a lot, bro. I think corner is a premium position that I would be okay with taking. This is how I think the draft's going to go down. I think number one overall, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you have to go Evan Neal. You have to. You have to protect Trevor at all costs. You have to protect your investment. Any GM that's going to take that job should understand that, and they should realize that, all right, we can't go defense here. We have to go all in on this quarterback and protect him. So Evan Neal
plus 145 odds.
Evan Neal, huh?
Plus four. Evan Neal going number one overall is in plus money right now too.
Go fucking take that. What is it?
I think it's plus 145.
Yeah, that should be. Listen, Jacksonville, who knows? They don't get their hires right. So it's just not a slam dunk, but logic says they have to pick Evan Neal. They have to. They have to protect. Their O-line is terrible. You know, they also drafted Travis Etienne. You want him to fucking have success too, but more so Trevor Lawrence, obviously. Have to go Evan Neal here. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. Number two overall, I think they stay with the Michigan boy. I think Aiden's going number two to Detroit. It's a Dan Campbell pick for sure. You know,
yeah.
You know, he also believes in building from the inside out on both lines. So they definitely do need a pass rusher. So I think Aiden will be number two. The Texans control the draft for number three. I really, really think there's going to be a quarterback riser. It's not right now, and it's crazy to say it right now, but I think there's going to be a riser, and I think the Texans are going to trade out here at number three. I think one of these teams is going to try to get into the spot like San Fran did, and they're going to fall in love with one of these prospects. I don't know who it's going to be because, like I said, I don't think this quarterback class is anything good, but you always have that one riser.
It'll be Sam Howell, if anything.
It could be Pickett. It could be Howell. I see Malik Jackson's Mel Kiper's first quarterback off the board. Who knows? We got to wait till the combine time, but – regardless, I think the Texans are going to trade out of that spot to someone looking for a quarterback, who that might be. I don't know, the Saints, the Redskins. I mean, I'm sorry, the Commanders, right? That's what they're going to be called.
That's the rumor right now.
I heard the Commanders.
It's 2 weeks today. We will find out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Commanders, though. So the Commanders, they want to rebrand and get their new shiny quarterback. Could be them. So I think number three is going to be, I think Texans definitely trade out of that pick and it's going to be a quarterback, which leaves Kayvon Thibodeau to number four, which I would absolutely love. That is my guy. If not, if the draft goes Evan Neal, Kayvon, and Hutch, 1, 2, 3, I think we're gonna, I would either try to trade back one or I would take, what's his name again? The other tackle,
Charles Cross.
No.
Equan. The kid from NC State.
Yeah. His name slipped me a little bit. Listen,
it's really hard to pronounce.
You gotta listen. Fuck the defense right now, man. I mean, unless it's Kayvon, that's different. Absolute superstar, slam dunk, elite prospect. You know, Saleh needs pass rushes for this scheme to work. As the Hornets win, that's one leg.
Yeah.
Listen, man, you go defense and free agency. That's where you go in free agency is you go defense there. and you continue to build this O-line, that's been Joe Douglas's philosophy. You have to protect the quarterback. Have to. The O-line was not bad this year, but it could go from average to good to very good to great, potentially, on what they do. So I still believe in Becton. I don't believe in all the smoke that, you know, oh, he's going to be gone. The team doesn't like him or whatever. The coaching staff doesn't like him. He'll be fine. He will be fine. You don't trust George Fant. He played well, but you don't trust him long term. You know, he can hold down that right tackle spot until Equan can step up and do that. So I think you go Equan 4 if that plays out like that. At number 10, listen, I've seen a lot of comparisons from Treylon Burks to Deebo Samuel. It might be a reach, and let people call it a reach now. But if he performs like Deebo Samuel and he's the perfect missing piece that this offense needed, no one's going to be talking about that in a year. You know, everyone wants to talk about, oh, who got reached for, who didn't, you know, the night after the draft. Like, we're going to know what the success of these guys are going to be. But listen, if Treylon Burks is the pick at 10, if you can't trade back, I'm all for that. That's my guy. That's my receiver for number 10 is Treylon Burks.
What if you have a feeling that someone's knocking on the door to trade up, and then you can trade back knowing, hey, Treylon Burks might still be
but you never know either, because once these people get a hold of what this guy really is, I think he's going to go higher than a lot of people expect. I do like Garrett Wilson a lot. I just don't like his size. Drake London's more of a bigger guy as well, like a Mike Evans type. I do like that as well. But for this offense, for the LaFleur system, Treylon Burks is the best fit by far.
I hear you.
And then, you know, we also have an early second-round pick. Got to get Trey McKinney, the tight end. Love him. And we're also coaching the Senior Bowl this year, which is huge. You know, we're going to get to see how these guys respond to coaching and, you know, what they're really like up close. So, and we have him on our roster. So I think that's gotta be, I think Jacksonville might steal them from him at the top of the second round, but if he's there with the third pick, gotta pull the trigger. Have to. And we also have to find a linebacker too. A linebacker or a corner with the second round pick.
I was about to say too. There's the one guy for N'Kobe Dean from
Georgia. I love N'Kobe Dean, but he's just not. He's just gonna have to go. He's gonna go in the first, man.
Nah, he's ranked right now at around the four. Probably go like mid second round. I think
he'll be if one he's, of those. Guys. Hey, man. Hey, hell yeah, bro. I love him. If we can get him in the second round pick, I would love that. I'm also not ruling out that we trade a second round pick for Calvin Ridley. I think that's a possibility as well.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad option too, because, like, obviously, you know, you have the punt returner Braxton, but we'll see if he stays. Corey Davis, we'll see how he comes.
Corey's going to play this year, and then he'll be cut. So I'm not really worried about Corey, but
and then you have Moore still. So
yeah, Moore's an absolute stud. If you get Calvin Ridley and everything is good with the mental side, I think that's going to, you know, I think they'll take a second for him. If not, they might ask for a first. I'm good on that. I'd rather draft the receiver if we got to take a first. But exactly. This move is the same move that Buffalo did for Josh Allen with Stephon Diggs. It's the same thing, bro. It's the same thing for Kyler and Hopkins. You have to get your quarterback help, because your future is tied to Zach Wilson's performance and his development. So Joe Douglas should think and should know all day long, I need to do whatever the hell I can to make this kid successful.
100%. That's coming from a Patriots fan. With you guys with this year, I think my ceiling for you right now is, I'll see it more when the schedule comes out, but I'd have to say 6-11. I think that's a pretty fair, like,
ceiling. I think they're going to surprise people, bro. I think they're going to be in that wild card picture come playing meaningful football next December. I think, if I'm Joe Douglas, I told you what I'm doing in the draft. I told you plan A. Free agency wise, I am throwing the bag at Brandon Scherff. You have the money, make him the highest paid guard. You're going to have Vera Tucker. You're going to have Scherff. You're going to have Becton. You're going to have the tackle that I told you we're going to draft. That is a top 10 O-line, no doubt about it. You know, you still have Michael Carter, who looked great. You get another 1B power back behind him. You know, if you're going to have Elijah Moore, Treylon Burks, the tight end that I said, listen, bro, you're set up for success, man. It's all on Zach Wilson at that point. He's expected to perform. You have the weapons. You have no excuse, bro. You got to make the jump.
Yeah.
So, like, and if he makes that jump, then I don't see how the Jets could be terrible without, you know, we'll see how the defense looks, but
that's where
I'm worried more about scoring points than keeping other teams from scoring points this year coming forward.
But like one of those teams where it's like, look, every game is like a Big 12 shootout. Almost.
Listen, man, we still have pieces, bro. If we can, Carl Lawson's coming back. Quinnen Williams, you know, he got hurt, but he was having a very solid year, bro.
Vinny Curry.
You know, CJ Mosley got all pro votes. You know, I would love to bring in Jesse Bates from the Bengals to play safety. I'm done with Marcus May. Can't, you know, he can go to the Patriots for all I care. you know, Bryce Hall's a really nice cornerback. You know, I look at him more as a cornerback too. But he's definitely a starter. You know, we got a nice nickel starter, nickel corner in the sixth round, and Michael Carter, the other Michael Carter. He had a solid year. So we have some pieces, bro. It's just about completing them.
Exactly.
But I definitely see the blueprint for this team, bro. I'm very bullish on this team, which is crazy to think because, you know, everyone just looks at the Jets logo and be like, they're trash, whatever. But as a fan, you should feel very optimistic for this offseason. And the cool thing is, you know, you have two first rounders, two second rounders. So you're going to be a year ahead of your rebuild. You're going to have double your picks.
The only thing we're saying is, though, it's just Douglas has to hit on all those four picks. That's the biggest thing. If Douglas doesn't hit on those four picks, then it's a different conversation. But if in the world, if he does, when I say 6-11, I don't mean a bad 6-11. I mean that 6-11, you know, where like,
It's just not enough, bro. It's not enough. You can't increase this win total by two every year. Two, 6-11, 8, and the year after 8-9. You know, you gotta take the. You know, it's the NFL, man. You seen the Bengals? I told you, I compared them to the Bengals. You know, you're really bad that year, the first year, and then you take that massive jump, and that's what's expected of the Jets. That's what the Jet fans are expecting this year, is this massive jump.
Fair statement. Even to, like, say if you guys even were to say get to, like, 7-8 wins, like, I could see it being, like, you know how...
That's fine. I'm cool with 8 wins. I'm cool. You know, you're playing meaningful football. I want to go to MetLife Stadium in December and have, you know, a reason to go there other than seeing fucking Tom Brady and another, and, like, other team's players. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I'm totally on board. Like, obviously, I'm rooting for more than 8 and 9, but, I you know, 8 and 9 is acceptable. That's acceptable.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where I feel like you guys are, you know, in that situation like the Cleveland or Denver were in, I can see you guys in, like, that kind of situation, you know, where it's, like, you're kind of in it all year, but then there's a couple games down the stretch, you know, where you do lose, where you kind of, that's what, that, like, those must, like, let's put it this way, like, you know how every year Miami's in that same situation where there's a game they got to win and they fucking choke it away?
Yeah.
I can see you guys in a very similar spot.
There's two different kinds of 8 and 9s. There's the 8 and 9 where your team has reached their ceiling and, you know, they're in, this is all they're going to be, is an 8-win, 9-win team, and they're not going to get much better than that. And there's the 8-win team that's young, they're up and coming, and you can tell that they're ready to take the next step the next year. So that's the team we would be. We're not going to be, you know, a whole bunch of veterans going 8 and 9 like the Broncos are.
Or the Falcons. So,
you know, I would be on board weighing that. That's a hell of a lot better than we've had. But, you know, you just want to be in that wild card picture come December. You want to have a chance.
Exactly.
So that's my goal for the Jets. I'm very bullish on the Jets this year. I was very impressed with Zach down the stretch. I know the numbers don't look great, but the eye test, he did pass. And I don't think he had a turnover in his last 3 or 4 games. Something like that. So he cut down the turnovers. You know, he was completely depleted at receiver with Corey Davis and Elijah Moore going to IR. And then, you know, the O-line got depleted a little bit. But he found the next guy, which was Berrios. And now Berrios is going to get paid because of that, which I think you have to find a way to get Berrios back. Have to. Guy's important. Very important piece to the team.
When you have the cap money for it, you have to find a way out, because if you know what works, you've got
to
keep it together.
I listened to the pod. He was on a Part of My Take today, and I listened.
Yes, he was.
And it sounded like to me that he wants to come back. I just don't think the money's there right now. I think he's valuing himself a lot higher now that he got all pro kick returner. So I don't know if the Jets have to get to his number, though, bro. He's a very important piece for Zach's development. Because Crowder's gone. Crowder can go to New England. Like I said, I think he goes there. There's your slot that you were looking for, Crowder, who's a very productive player. He's good. I just think he was checked out all year long because he had to take the pay cut. But yeah, man, you got to find a way to get Berrios back.
Yeah,
I think cool. I love the chemistry him and Zach built towards the end of the year. Plus, you know, he made your special team units pretty good.
Yeah, he won a chip. Well, Berrios won a chip with us. He was on the team for Super Bowl 53.
I heard him talking about that.
Yeah, as I look on my bets right now, as the Cleveland Cavaliers have disappointed me, as they're down by.
Oh, what are we doing, Raptors? Come on.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. Dallas is getting a little hot. This is very similar to the Dallas game in October that actually I went to. One of only two games I got to go to this year. But for my one right now, the Chicago Bulls have
2 for 12 in Vliet. What are we doing, dog?
Yeah, I think he's stuck at 10 points right now, so hopefully he can turn it up in the fourth. For the Patriots, for draft needs, look, there's two players that you obviously know. I like Chris Olave's a guy I would like to see. Jameson Williams, John Mechie, Slay Bolden. But here's my other thing too, and we learned this from the Raiders. Just because you draft somebody from an Alabama, an Ohio State, or a Clemson, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out. Now, obviously, I'm saying that, look, New England's a little different. We drafted, obviously, our first two picks, slash year, Bama, Barmore and Jones, and both graded great. Barmore, even though in the loss, was still top for defensive tackles for overall PFF grades. And Mac Jones still had a pretty decent game against the Bills, even though we couldn't get anything going. Like, he didn't do anything horrible. Like, the one interception was an act of God. And I don't say that in a bad way. I say that in a way of, like, that was just, like, there's nothing you can do about it. You know those plays where you're like, I can't even be mad. I'm impressed. But yeah. When it comes to this team, there's going to be some tough decisions to be made this offseason. Like, will Matt Slater retire? I think Devin McCourty will be back, probably on a cheaper veterans deal. I think, for as much as I like the guy, I think Hightower, I think there's a very good chance he's out the door.
Hey, man, nothing like playoff Hightower.
Dude, he had one of the greatest plays in Patriots playoff history in Super Bowl 51, and then he just got cooked all game long. He was getting cooked.
Bill was so hyped for that guy to come back, man. So he thought that he was gonna be the same Hightower. I was like, there's no way.
For me, it was more about leadership than what he did on the field.
Hey, man, let him be the next Gerard Mayo.
Exactly. Like, Gerard Mayo retired at a pretty young age. Now he might be a head coach. But that's the thing with linebacking. We got to get better. That's why I would love to see N'Kobe Dean as a second-round pick. I even got to look at some other guys. I got to do some more prospect homework for the later round. Like late day two, day three guys.
Yeah.
I got to do my homework on those. But even still, like, I'd love to get Slade Bolden in here. When it comes down to it, my biggest question right now is running back for who's going to be the third down back. For as good as Brandon Bolden did, I prefer James White much more. I think, if anything, I could see a world where Bolden is back and James White's gone only because of the injury. But I think James White is the more reasonable choice to give. I got Keegan Stiefel from Pat's Pulpit coming on Monday. We're going to talk about this more in-depthly and probably wrap up divisional weekend as well, folks. Stay tuned for that. But when it comes to a hole for this team, like I said, you got to fix the linebacking core. You got to shape up the secondary because we don't know what's going to go on, even though, look, Jonathan Jones will be back. Adrian Phillips signed a sweetheart hometown discount contract. But my other question for – not my other question. My other pick I'd love for round one, if it's not a wide receiver, is Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati. He's just a baller back there in the secondary, and he could add a lot to there.
But if you're going Sauce, I think he lets JC walk.
Yeah, here's the thing. This also could scream like, and Alex asked me this on Monday. So 2020, we had the 23rd overall pick. We traded back to the Chargers, and then we ended up with two second round picks. Which Alex, I was always convinced that we used that pick on Kyle Duggar. Just because Xavier McKinney was taken, when I think all along Belichick just had those, he has those random guys from like random ass schools to just circle.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And dude, I love Kyle Duggar. The guy balls. He can fucking, and he hits. He hits. So that's the thing with next year too, for our secondary right now potentially, it could be Duggar, Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson, Jalen Mills, who was missing from the wildcard game. Obviously, he's out with COVID. If I ever see Jojuan Williams. In a Patriots uniform again, I might strangle myself.
Like, what happened to your boy Henry Anderson?
He's been on IR all year.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he played like a couple of games here and there. He made some good plays.
That guy's been stealing money for years.
Yeah. The other reason with the Patriots as well, their defense, why weren't that good? I think teams finally figured out, look, if you neutralize Matt Judon, it's just not the same defense. You let Judon loose, you're going to lose.
Yeah, I honestly think you guys should bring in another edge at round one then.
You know what? If we were to get another one, that'd be fine. Because like our nose tackle situation is perfect right now. Because we have Christian Barmore. We have Lawrence Guy. Who's the other guy I'm trying to think of? Carl Davis is fine. And then even like, and Judon's there. Dietrich Wise is still good. But my biggest question more than anything is the linebacking core right now. We also have Josh Uche. But then even still, like how Chase Winovich was hurt. We didn't know what happened there. And, oh, that's the other two of the wide receiver position. What's going to happen with Jacoby Myers? He is an unrestricted free agent. He's a free agent at the end of the year. I think, if anything, I think Myers more than likely will sign the long – like, they'll lock up Myers because I think he'll be the cheaper deal. But we'll see what happens. I just can see – look, I think there's a world where Nelson Agholor gets traded, and I think there's a world where what's his face? N'Keal Harry. Not there's a world. N'Keal Harry is 100% gone from this team. It was one of those awkward situations all year long. He's great in run blocking, though. Don't get me wrong. He's a great run blocking wide receiver. But when there's a guy that was taken three picks later in that draft who's an absolute baller, as Fred just knocks down a three, when that happens, it's just another world on its – it's another world on its own as the – Man, the Mavericks are on a fucking heater right now.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. I don't know. Raptors, when they get it done, it's in the fourth quarter. So I have a little faith. We just got to get Fred to get hot real quick.
We have a saying in Toronto called "We the Fourth." Yeah, I know we have "We the North," but a lot of Raptors fans kind of jokingly say "We the Fourth" because of how many games we close out in the fourth quarter. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tonight. My NBA ticket shot. Thank you very much, Cleveland Cavaliers. But I still have NCAA basketball going, so we'll see what happens there. I'll stress about that when we get off the air. But for the Patriots, more than anything, look, I think next year we'll be in those, like, so I have the same views on the AFC for 22 as I did for 21. Because you're going to have Kansas City, you're going to have Buffalo, you're going to have Tennessee. But now the fact that you have, and then you have your other teams where you have, you know, you have your Chargers, you have your Patriots, you have your Ravens, you have...
Ravens will be back, yes.
Ravens will be back. You have the Titans and the Bengals.
The Bengals will be in there big time.
You have the Bills and the Chiefs are going to be in there. My biggest question is those like weird middle of the pack teams. Like, how's Cleveland going to be? How's Vegas going to be? How are the Colts going to be? What exactly
happens? As long as Wentz is the quarterback of that Colts team, I will not buy into them. Yeah. I just refuse. I will not.
Miami too. I know
as good as Jonathan Taylor is, man. You know.
Yeah. That's the thing. And then even, too, they could lose coaches because of as I just fixed my earplugs quickly. For as much as, like you said, they have Jonathan Taylor, but then even, too, they could lose Matt Eberflus, which kind of kills their defense. For me with them, you're right, though. The Colts are a big wild card team, like in the topic. We don't know what to expect from them. We don't know if anyone's going to take a jump, but then there's also those teams I can see that aren't exactly ready yet. Like, for example, I think you guys are in the playoff hunt, but I don't think next year playoffs, I think 23 is the more ideal for the Jets to make the playoffs. But then you obviously have Jacksonville and Houston that aren't going to be in there. Pittsburgh probably will not be in there. But the biggest one of wild card of them all, where we don't know what to expect right now, is the Denver Broncos. If the Broncos don't bring in a quarterback, they're not making the playoffs next year. They're
no, absolutely not, no. And I think Rodgers stays. I don't think they get Rodgers, honestly. I know everyone has him penciled in to be in there, but I think he ends up staying.
I think, you know what, I think they work. I think it's like, you know how for years everyone said Belichick and Brady just, like, they hated each other, but they had a working relationship? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the same thing in Green Bay, where LaFleur is there. They franchise Adams, who I think if he walks a free agency, he gets a bag.
No, there's no chance he hits the open market. None.
Yeah, exactly. No. That would be a worse.
He's gonna hold out once he gets franchised for sure. But he's there's no chance he hits the open market.
Yeah, no, I think he could be a franchise, but I think it's one of those ones that goes into July. Excuse me, where you see him eventually maybe get that deal like right before training camp, or he agrees to go and then he plays in the franchise, and the next year he just locks up that big money deal.
Yeah, man. Listen. If you hit the open market, it's for a reason. Like, as you see, like, look at Kenny Golladay. Everyone was like, oh, my God, the Lions let him walk. The only talent they have, you know, at receiver. They knew, bro. They knew. We're not paying this fucking guy. And look what happened. The Giants got suckered in. They paid him, and he's not worth that contract. Not worth half of that contract. So they have to deal with that now. So good for touchdowns. Good on the Lions, man.
This many fucking touchdowns, zero. And also, if I'm a Lions fan right now, you better bet they're probably all loving Amon-Ra St. Brown there. He is just gonna be a fucking
what
stud.
A stud, bro. What was he, a fifth round pick?
Yep, like 109th
pick, bro.
That's the thing too. NFL GMs are all getting wise to when they don't want to pay receivers because they realize I can just go draft another one of you if you do not work out. It's that simple.
Yeah, but I feel like more receivers are bust than not. Honestly, you really got to get lucky to find an Amon-Ra St. Brown. There is one in every draft. Look at McLaurin; he was a third. You know, you'll find when you go back to the drafts and you'll find a later pick that always works out. But you'll also see 5-6 guys that never work out as well. So you got to get lucky.
Exactly. That's the thing with the draft. It's all about luck. It's like you have basically it's a bunch of unscratched lottery tickets, and then you just scratch it off and you hope for bar. Yeah. But anyway, folks. Look, I think that's going to wrap it up, actually. I don't really know if there's much more to talk about. We kind of laid out the plans for our teams. We played some games. We predicted some games. Hopefully, you all win some money. I'm actually going to run through these quickly just because I'm going to. Tennessee, Cincinnati first, and so I'm not DMing you randomly throughout the weekend. If I had to guess right now for Tennessee and Cincinnati for first touchdown, I'm going to throw I want to say Derrick Henry, but I want to throw a random one in there and say Hilliard just because or A.J. Brown. But for Cincinnati... You know what? I'm going to go Tyler Boyd. I think I'm going to go Tyler Boyd for Cincinnati.
Tyler Boyd. Wait, yeah. I'm sorry, bro. I was distracted. What was the question?
For first touchdown. I just want to run through those.
Oh, you want to go first touchdown?
Yeah.
Okay.
For Tennessee, I want to say...
I think Tennessee, I think they drive down the field and get Henry a score real quick. So I think he's the first. I also can see Tannehill getting a rushing touchdown this week.
That's fair. 100%
on a naked bootleg. So I see that. Next game is the Packers game. First touchdown, give me Allen Lazard.
Allen Lazard, I'm going Deebo Samuel just because it's safe money. Tennessee, I said Hilliard for some reason. I don't know why. I felt like, you know what? You know how, like, there's a lot of those times in fantasy where, like, you're in the red zone and then you just put in the wrong running back goes in. Like, I've seen it so many times in Minnesota where Alexander Mattison will go in and get the touchdown and knock Dalvin Cook. And then I've seen people, like, fucking screaming at their TVs.
Uh-huh.
I can see that happening, but look, if I'm going safe money and logistical, I'm going to go Derrick Henry too. Green Bay, you know what? I'm going to go MVS or like MVS. Yeah, he's healthy. Yeah, he's healthy. I thought he was hurt for some reason. Valdez Scantling, and I'm going to go Deebo, Tampa Bay LA, Mike Evans, or Cam Akers.
Cam Akers is a good one, yeah.
You were so close with Cameron Brate last weekend, though.
Oh, my God, I know. I totally forgot about that, too. Yeah, I like Cam Akers. I mean, it could be Odell again, too. Definitely could be Odell two weeks in a row.
It could be. And then Kansas City, Buffalo, I'm going to say Tyreek Hill, and I'm going to go Gabe Davis.
Give me Devin Singletary. So I got to play this ticket now for $5. So I said Lazard, Singletary, Henry, and who's my fourth? I'm trying to think.
OBJ.
OBJ or Akers. I'll probably go OBJ. All right, I'm playing that for $5. I'm pretty sure it will pay out like fucking 20,000, but we'll see.
I mean, it's all good. I played a random one in the NHL last night. I did 8 players to score and went. I hit 3 of them. If all eight had scored goals, I would have won. It was literally I put 75 cents on it just for shits and gigs. If it had hit, I would have won $2,000.
Man, just give me one of those fucking. You know, you see these guys having cash out options for ridiculous amounts of money, man. Just give me one opportunity in life to have one of those, man. Come on,
that first basket
I will cash
one,
out. I don't care.
Or what about that first basket one where the guy put like 50 cents and it was like a group of friends and they won like
100K, yeah.
Yeah.
100K. Well, 50 cents. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Also, too, if I'm looking at a good bet for Sunday, Dawson Knox over yards, whatever it is. It'll probably be around 50 or 60 yards again.
Yeah, they're going to have to get it to that, to Dawson, bro.
He had a really good game last time they played. He had a really good game.
Against the Chiefs.
Yeah, against the Chiefs. I got to look it up because I remember around that time was when people were really starting to keen in on him for fantasy football. And I scooped him up because Kyle Pitts and I weren't exactly working out that well. If you guys want to give me a second, I'm going to look it up.
I think for an under, I think we got to take Mike Evans.
You know what? That's fair. I like that.
I like Mike Evans under this week.
I would take, this is the week I think take Cooper Kupp over. I don't think people are going to be too keen on it because of what happened last week. This is when it's one of those bets that gets you. But yeah, last time Dawson Knox, 3 receptions, 117 yards, and a touchdown. His average was 39.
Wow. Yeah, I'm taking Akers over for sure too, bro.
Yeah, so for player props for over unders, I'm gonna go over for AJ Brown yards. I'm gonna go Deebo Samuel probably over rushing.
Yeah, over rushing, yeah.
I'm gonna go Cam Akers over rushing, and I'm gonna go Dawson Knox over yards. Those are my four over.
I also players. Like shit, bro, it just came to my mind. I lost my train of thought. Trying to look at Van Vliet. But yeah, man, no. I mean, it could be a profitable weekend, bro, if you play your cards right. Like I said, I think we broke down the games pretty evenly. I think we're majority in agreement of what's going to happen. So, like I said, I put big money on this ticket, bro. 4-game parlay. Titans money line, Packers money line, Bills plus 7.5, and Rams money line. So, it's like a plus 600 ticket.
Yeah. So, wait, when you said Bills plus 7.5, you mean so they're...
So, they can lose by a touchdown, and I'd still win.
The whole game or just for the first half?
The whole game.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I may have to ride that ticket with you, but we'll wait and see. I know I'll be messaging you all week trying to figure out exactly what to do. But yeah, we'll go from there.
You know how it works.
Exactly. You know, Danny and I, we always talk. That's why, folks, at the end of the day, you're always trying to help your friends win money. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Don't let the
and we got a dog face Griff TikTok coming soon. I didn't forget about that shit.
Oh yeah. That'll be coming.
Oh,
folks, I got stuff planned. If you follow me on TikTok, I got stuff coming. One thing that's always gonna happen weekly though is me dancing for the Freaky Friday by Lil Dicky and Chris.
Yo, keep the dances coming, bro.
That'll happen. I gotta get more into that. Trust me, I'm trying to drive up my views. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening to YWC Football Talk. This has been episode number 147. I can't believe I didn't leave this till the end, but folks, go to sidelineshop.ca, buy all your jersey needs. When you're on there, tell them I sent you. Whenever that happens, look, they get some profit, I get some profit, so it all works out for the best of us. But anyway, folks, enjoy divisional weekend, and I'll see you back here on Monday with Keegan Stiefel for a full Patriots podcast. So if you're a Patriots fan, you'll like it. But if you're not a Patriots fan, you can listen to it and think what you got to say. But anyway, folks, we'll see you later. Enjoy divisional weekend. Danny, thanks for coming on once again.
Peace, bro. Always a pleasure.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.